El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of fucking internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions. But now, I don't do jack shit. Joining me today, she's the host of a fantastic podcast called Chronic Relief. She's also a really great comic. You should go see her tell jokes sometime. We've been trying to get her on the show forever, and she's finally here. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Wolfson. Also joining me, he is one half of the duo that hosts the Best Bad Movie Ever podcast right here on the Unpops Network. He's also got a podcast network of his own called Gamefully Unemployed. She does not have a podcast on the network currently, but we are talking about it. So maybe in the future, ladies and gentlemen, David Christopher Bell and Hannah Michaels. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I should have taken a drink of water before I started, but here we are. We're fine.
You're fine.
Yeah, thank you.
You're wonderful.
I'm your host. Joining me as co-host today, I don't have a co-host. My favorite co-host of all. No host. Just me. We smoked a joint before this.
I'm really glad we did.
Really launched into it. But I do have a room full of guests. For example, first-time guest, Rachel Wolfson.
Hello, first-time caller, long-time listener.
That's not true. No one listens to this podcast. Just joking. People do. It's how I make my living. Thanks, everybody. Rachel, I bet we've been trying to get you on for a while.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad we could finally work this out.
Yeah. Me and Rachel have a lot in common. And by that, I mean we smoke a lot of weed.
We smoke weed. We follow each other on Twitter.
Right?
We're Twitter buddies.
Yeah. If you smoke weed, you should follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Or just like on all platforms.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And in real life.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From a healthy distance.
Yeah. Follow me to my car after this.
Not me, though.
That would be great. Also here, David Christopher Bell.
Hi. How are you?
From so many podcasts like Best Bad Movie Ever right here on the Unpops Network.
That's true. That's
and a whole podcast network of your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gamefully Unemployed. Thank you for having me on. I realize it would have been great if none of us had said anything. So it was just like you... Like,
yeah.
So you could insist that we're here, but we could just deny it and just.
That, yeah. I mean, that would make for interesting pod.
I think
that's
so.
A Chet Wilde technique.
Is it?
Yeah. Chet refuses to say goodbye on podcasts.
like on TV when people don't say goodbye on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
That's a weird thing to me.
It's kind of the world I want to live in, though, because who gives a it's a waste to have to say goodbye, but.
Yeah.
But what if you had like a contentious conversation and it's like, oh, they just hung up on me.
Yeah, it's also kind of necessary, true. I guess, where it's like we have to signify the end of a conversation or a thing we're doing.
I could do without the obligatory I love you because now I just say it to everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Hey, that's Hannah Michaels, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
Our third guest also here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
I feel like Hannah hasn't been on in a while. I feel like Dave hasn't been on in a while.
I don't know.
Fresh energy in this room.
It's madness. Who can say?
It really
at
is.
At this point.
We are, as the name of the podcast implies, we're talking about unpopular opinions today. I normally go first, but should...
Okay. You know what? It just occurred to me. Sorry. I don't know if I've ever been on this specific show.
You've been on
unpopular Have I? I don't remember before. Ever having an unpopular opinion. And
well, we don't always do the episodes like this.
Right. Right. Yes. I've been on this show. I haven't gotten to
you
share
haven't been
an
on
unpopular
the,
opinion.
The fucking game show version.
Yeah.
I don't know why I called it.
Is it a game show?
Do we win something?
I should incorporate some sort of element of contest to it.
Adam, do we win something?
Is there anything here you want?
The dog, but I know you're not going to give that away.
Can't take the dog. I'd also not like to give up that Plague Incorporated board game before I get a chance to play it.
Well,
you know
the
what?
Dog wants to
you
go
know
with
what?
Me.
You can have the dog on second thought. Yeah. It's fine. Take the dog. That's my unpopular opinion. So who wants to go first? Should I go first?
Go first.
Yeah.
Show us how it's done.
This is, I've brought this up on podcast before, but mostly in relation to just Scott Peterson. But I feel like all of those really big media circus trials that happened in the 90s and early 2000s, I think we should retry all of those without cameras and without media coverage and just see how it shakes out.
Right.
Because I feel like, especially with, there's two in particular, Pamela Smart, who was the school teacher who was sleeping with one of her students, and the student killed her husband.
Dope.
The problem with that, she wasn't a school teacher. He wasn't one of her students. He was just a 17. She worked for the school district, but not in like a...
But that's like the Nancy Grace story.
Right.
That she pictured.
Nancy Grace is like a borderline war criminal. Like she spent her entire career just trying people in public.
Do you ever think about her kids?
No.
Sorry.
Oh, the twins? So doesn't she have twins?
I didn't mean to interrupt.
She has kids that are alive?
Yeah.
She has, oh, yeah. Then I feel bad for them.
Yeah. Mm.
Twins, I think.
She, I saw her on something once claiming that she hides whenever she drinks soda because her kids shouldn't be exposed to soda.
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
She sounds like that kind.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
What's frustrating about especially Scott Peterson, who I've said a few times that I think is probably not guilty. Everything people know about the Scott Peterson trial, they know from television. Like, none of us were there. Like, we weren't jurors. Like, mm-hmm. It's all media coverage.
Is that the pregnant wife?
Yeah, Lacey Peterson.
Yeah.
And
I remember that briefly.
People have such strong feelings about...
What about JonBenet Ramsey?
JonBenet Ramsey's a whole other crazy...
That's a crazy story. But...
The thing about Scott Peterson is everything people who are so sure he's guilty, everything they know about that case, they know from television. So what's the harm in watching the A&E documentary and getting more information from television and then basing your opinion on that? Because if you can watch that documentary and still come out of it assuming Scott Peterson should be in prison, even if he did it, the way that trial unfolded, he should not be in prison. And if you watch that documentary and come out the other end thinking he deserved the sentence he got, you should not ever be a juror.
So you're proposing that we do second trials after everybody's been exposed to like the true crime documentaries and stuff about what's going on.
Here's
like
the
you
thing,
want the jurors to have more knowledge of what's happening based on what they've read and seen.
Well, here's the thing, especially in the case of Pamela Smart.
How would this affect the trials? How does this give them better trials?
Because televised trials are a problem. It's been studied and documented several times that people in that situation tend to play to the camera.
Right.
And the only way for a defendant in that case to get a retrial is to prove that people acted different because there was a camera there. And how do you fucking prove that?
Right. You know,
you can't.
I mean, the fundamental problem, there was a whole Ashley Judd, Tommy Lee Jones movie about why you can't do this.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, like the case of Pamela Smart, for example, the people who committed the murder are all out of prison. And she, on the other hand, has no appeals left. She's going to die in prison. And there's a really strong chance that she didn't have any part in that kid killing her husband.
But how likely are we now to find jurors who are not exposed to the televised?
Well, here's the thing. Pamela Smart happened a long time ago. I feel like there are a lot of young people who probably aren't as familiar with that name.
How do we decide? Like, is there a certain amount of media coverage? And because everything gets some amount of media coverage.
Well, my other thing is I feel like
Casey Anthony, that was like a mid-level one, right?
Right.
That's the only televised trial I watched.
According to Nancy Grace, Top Mom.
Top Mom?
That's what Nancy Grace named her.
Wow.
Top Mom.
Fucking Nancy Grace. My problem with Nancy Grace is she convicts people on demeanor.
Yeah, can we just...
Yeah, well, there are a lot of... Yeah.
Can we just put her on trial?
Like, I would be all
for it. Would that solve all of this? Is just like go back and put her on trial for this stuff.
I would be all for that. I feel like Nancy Grace in a lot of cases was
Nancy Disgrace.
Ooh.
Wordplay.
Yeah.
Do you have that roast battle sound?
I just feel like any case, yeah, maybe. I feel like any case Nancy Grace was involved in deserves a retrial.
Yeah.
And it needs to be conducted outside the public eye and with jurors who haven't been influenced by her goddamn shenanigans. Those people are out there. Yeah. Or my other thing I wouldn't mind happening, jurors should be elected officials. We should have maybe...
Yeah, not just Joe Schmo off the street.
Yeah.
I've been to jury duty. And let me tell you, when I showed up, I thought that most of those people there should not be deciding anyone's future.
Yeah.
Let alone myself, who was high.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I also think that about several elected officials. But in
totally.
General.
Yeah.
General, people who vote at a local enough level like that, that's fair.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like we should have, I don't know, 200 jurors in this country that right. just go around and if there's a juror trial. That, yeah, we'll need more than that. But we elect
people
all the time. We need
like 200 in each state.
Yeah. And there's no way that system would turn corrupt at all.
I was about to say, the problem is we don't vote for our elected officials on low-level elected officials really anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
A lot of them just go unchallenged. So or it's like, how would that campaign go? Yeah, I agree. I feel like
it should be like America's Next Top Juror.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like America's Next Top Model, it's a reality show where America votes.
I like
and
that.
You have to be a registered voter to vote. You must pay your taxes. I don't know. No, you should, whatever. Everyone gets one person, one vote. That's what it is. And we decide who our people are who represent us through a series of challenges.
Yes.
Such as mental health. Exam and what else? Maybe we'd like some of them to be different,
like a bias test,
like a written test,
like a video of a cop shooting someone.
Yeah,
who's
they
wrong?
They can't
here.
Be racist. They can't be homophobic, and they have to be an American citizen.
What if we
man?
Just
we're
do,
weeding a lot of people out.
What if we just do? What if we just do one 12-year-old who either gives a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I like that.
That's the entire thing.
I like that a whole lot.
Only
maybe an algorithm.
Maybe yeah. we let
robots.
We let babies decide.
Yeah, whoever the baby crawls to is like the winner.
Or
like
puppies.
That, yeah,
maybe that octopus that would like predict Super Bowl outcomes. Remember that fun
little
guy.
Yeah, we can't trust humans.
Yeah,
no, we really can't.
Dogs. It's got to be dogs. Just put a dog in front of the person.
If they
bark,
that
person's probably guilty.
If this group of people. Let's see. What happened the last time we put our faith into a group of solid elected officials, and they decided what was best for us common folk, the people of America? I feel like you're right. We need robots. We need
we would
like
fuck up
fair
the voting.
And balanced robots.
I feel like this has been probably already presented on the show, but I am pro robot overlords 100%.
We should have Elon Musk decide our. Design our jurors.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. Yeah, I've said before that I'm fine with the idea, maybe not robot overlords, but that dystopia where there's this central computer that decides your entire life and like who you date, where you work, where you
can
go.
Sounds terrifying.
Does it? Or does it sound like a pretty stress-free existence where you don't have to make any
Again,
decisions?
Robot overlords 2020. It's
exactly.
It's because they'd probably also, we act like we would know better than them, but
if
they'd
that,
probably
if you want
be
that,
better at it than
just
us.
Just get a corporate job. That's exactly what a corporate job is like.
That's
you have
true.
Someone tell you exactly where you dress, when you show up, and what you do.
I mean, we do make robots. We have a lot of say in what they decide.
Well, we have to, we have to take the control away from ourselves and have robots making other robots. I don't know how it would work exactly.
Well, that's coming because robots are going to take over pretty much every aspect of our lives at a certain point. And there will be so much time for creativity.
I want to wake up in a sterile room and have like a paste come out of the wall and some voice be like, eat, consume this. And I'll eat it and it'll be great.
No, paste.
Yeah, it'll be delicious paste.
It's going to happen.
They'll know it'll be delicious.
Maybe
that's
there's a button. You can hit like a nacho cheese option.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a savory. Maybe a sweet.
If you can choose your paste.
Yeah, I want a sweet paste in the morn.
I think if the robots, I think they would be smart enough to know, the robot overlords, to know that in order to prevent like a Matrix situation where we try to fight back, they make the existence awesome, right? So they like they give us some really good
paste. Have you guys watched Black Mirror?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like that one room where it's just like you do whatever that room says.
Right.
It's like you earn points.
I'm down.
Right. I also realized I have very little aspirations. I realized that if I thought about like going to prison, and I realized if they had internet, I'd be just fine.
Yeah.
They do have internet in prison, depending on which prison you go. So just look up which crimes let you have internet in prison. And I'm sure there's like a whole list of like things, but which gang are you going to join?
Oh man.
I mean, it's gotta be this.
So are you down to shave your head?
I would join probably whatever gang would accept me, I guess.
Okay, we know like, what gang that's going to be. Just go ahead and put it out there.
Like, we know you're not anti-Semitic and racist, but like to survive prison, you might have to be. Are you willing to do that for your survival? We know you're not actually.
I know.
That.
Well, I'm not all that white, but I can pretend to be. I can pretend to be super white.
Right.
To do it.
That's the thing I wonder about going to prison. How many Jews actually are there? What the fuck?
There's not a lot of Jews in prison. It's not a lot of Jews in prison. But you know what? I feel like we would have our own gang.
Why can't we start
our own crew? We'd have a Jew crew. We wouldn't have a gang. We'd
stand
have a crew.
To reason. Like there's gotta be a Jewish prison gang.
I bet you the Crips and the Bloods would let us join.
Yeah, I was gonna say I just joined the Bloods.
Yeah,
I was just trying to coax Dave into.
I know what you were trying to do.
Yeah, but you didn't fall for it. Good job.
Well,
yeah, I just be a Blood or a Crip.
Yeah,
probably a Blood given the color scheme in the studio. I don't want to go way off brand when I join a prison.
No, you can't. You have to when you show up. You got to let them know like this is you can't start all over. This is what you had to go with what your brand was.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way I'm gonna because I'm taking all this to prison with me.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing too. Like all of these dystopias that
I'd watch the Unpopular Prison podcast.
The thing about all these dystopian scenarios I'm fine living in, it's all contingent upon me still being able to do this for a living.
Mind you, I'm talking about, we're talking about robot overlords. We're not talking about like post-apocalyptic wastelands where we have to farm.
Yeah.
Cause then we're just dead.
Like if the world's burning around me, that's fine. But I still want to like,
I still want to think that there's going to be like a biodome situation. We're all going to have our own domes.
Mm.
I'd be into that.
Like a dope dome.
Yeah. Do we each get Pauly Shore? Like a Pauly Shore clone?
We all have a place. Jewish prison gang.
European Adam kindred.
Adam's Googling Jewish prison gang.
Well, there is the Jewish Defense League. Do they have?
Are you talking about the Israeli army?
No. Those are very different
The Israeli
things.
Mafia. Hells yeah.
Oh, nice. So you'd be fine.
Wait.
Oh, is that a
The Bloods. The Crips. Hilarious. Oh, they're main rivals.
Oh.
Oh.
Damn.
You guys would be rivals.
Yeah, you would have some choosing to do.
I was hoping that we would be solidarity.
You just make it a population-based thing. What's the bigger gang?
Is it like a career day at school where like they all have a pitch? Like,
I hope so.
Yeah. I'd like them to have booths.
Yeah, booths.
Yeah.
Like a career day. Like it's like a science fair, but for gangs. Like,
I want them to
we
want
sell
me.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to sell cigarettes?
It's like try cheerleading or join the Crips.
So, yeah. Anyway, prosecute Nancy Grace.
Yeah, I'm not sold on your original idea, but I'm fine with putting Nancy Grace on trial. I do think there's a certain element of like when someone in power turns out to be clearly full of shit, we should have the right to like go back and like re-examine.
Undo their shit.
Yeah, if say a president got impeached.
And we should do
know,
it
like we,
on
we
a reality should, show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like The Apprentice, but it's like, we're the ones that fire them.
Yeah.
America, we vote. One person, one vote.
Right.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I can do it.
All right, you can do it, Dave.
I can do it. I think that we should regulate movie sequels. I think the government needs to step in and limit. The studios should get a certain amount of hours that they can devote to any movie franchise. So like a franchise gets 6 hours of movie time, right?
Yeah.
So you can make like 3 movies. And then after that, you have to apply with the government to get additional movies. Now here's the catch. And the same with TV shows, you get like 75 hours of a television show.
Sure.
So that can result in like 5 or 6 seasons if it's an hour long show, depending on how many episodes per season. The idea is the government doesn't judge anything. The government actually can't deny that they can't deny them to make more movies under one condition, which is that they present the government or whatever this organization is, a branch of government, with their full plan for whatever the next movies are going to be. Meaning that it's basically a system that forces studios to call their shots in advance and say, okay, we want to make 3 more movies of this series. Here are the scripts. Here are the budgets. This is what we're planning to do. That's it. It wouldn't abolish like Harry Potter's, the Marvels. They could still exist. All the studios need to do is prove to the government after they get through the amount of time that they're legally required or able to, they just have to prove that they have a plan. And all that will do is prevent shows like Westworld from existing or the new Star Wars, where they clearly didn't have a plan. And I think this is a form of consumer protection.
What about the Mandalorian?
Mandalorians, they clearly had a plan. Also, that's a TV show. It was great. It's just about when someone sells like pills to people, we have a system in place to make sure the pills don't hurt you or do what they say they do, or right. they don't make false claims and they don't scam people. And
we have a system.
Yeah. And I think you look at like Westworld, which in the first season they had to halt production so they could finish writing and figure out what they were actually doing.
It's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign. And that's also, I think, a scam. A show like Lost, where it's like promises a lot of stuff and then at the end they're just like, well, thanks for the money, and they leave. And they don't give you what they promised. That's a scam.
Yeah,
they're scamming people narratively. And we should have a system in place to make sure. And again, it wouldn't be like, for example, I don't like the Jurassic World movies. This system would not change that. They would still exist and they'd be as crappy as I think they are. They just have to prove that they have a plan.
Right.
That's it. The plan could be shitty, but they just have to be like, look, we have 3 movies planned. We're not going to suddenly hire Ryan Johnson to change everything.
What if they don't know if they have 3 movies planned, though?
Well, that's the thing, is that like they get a certain amount of hours right away to do whatever they want. So like the first Matrix came out and they didn't know they were going to make sequels. But then they made 2 more. None of that, they could do whatever they want for those because it's still within the hours, 3 movies. It's once you get past 3 movies, do they have to start thinking about what they're going to do? And the knowledge that they have 3 movies will also create a system where studios will probably be more careful about what they put out.
No,
go ahead.
At the present time, there's no reboot loophole within this. Well, there is a reboot loophole within this.
Yeah, I think we'd have to figure that out because remakes and loopholes are a whole different thing. I was thinking that it's just that amount of movies in a franchise in general, in that world. So reboots exist.
They count.
Yeah, I think when something becomes public domain, it could be fine.
Right.
It could be like, okay, that belongs to anybody. So
yeah.
I think like independent films, lower budget films could get more allowances with this, more leeway. And I think that maybe it could reset after a certain amount of decades where it's like, okay, well this is clearly a new thing.
When you mentioned consumer protection, one thing something like this could be tied to is movies that are filmed in places that give massive tax breaks for filming there.
Right.
Like if there's, because that then you are actually spending taxpayer money to make your movie in some sense. So then, yeah, you should have to present some sort of business plan for what you're going to do with it.
All I'm asking is for a system in place. Again, it wouldn't reject movies. It's just making the studios call their shots instead of just like writing it as they go along. Like Star Wars is the one that really, they're making Star Wars. They're making Star Wars. They know they're making a trilogy and they wrote those as they went and kept hiring different people. And it doesn't matter which ones you like, those movies are now fundamentally broken. They're inconsistent. They're two people basically fighting over a plot, and it's a mess. And it's like, how could you do that? I'm not even a big Star Wars fan, but it's like, how could you do that with a giant franchise like that? Like, that's shouldn't be allowed. They're making all this money, and they're barely putting any thought into it. And it's like, because that's the thing, is certain franchises have a fan base where no matter what they put out, they're going to make all the money in the world. And so it's a system that protects fans from bad quality stuff, because they know, the studios know, no matter what we put out, people are going to see it.
They're going to consume it.
Yeah. It prevents there's six Terminator films. And there's six Terminator films, and four of them are do-overs. They kept just being like, okay, forget the last movie. This is the new one. Forget.
Right.
And it's like, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. You should have that taken away from you. You can't make, you can't make six Terminator. You should be terminated.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I would be on board, especially with you get a set amount of hours for your franchise.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you should have to go in front of a board and get approval to make your movie more than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone see Queen and Slim?
Not yet.
Queen and Slim is a really good movie that should have been about half an hour shorter.
Yeah. Mm. I really want to see that, though.
And like the leads, beautiful people. So it's very weird for me to say the scene where they fuck goes on way too long. It's like, we
sex get sells.
It. The guy from Get Out can fuck. I get it.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
We all knew that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Get out or get it on.
Right? More that's like pull out. So they probably didn't have protection in that scenario.
No, that's what the limited hours, not limited movies, limited hours. Again, it makes it more precious where they don't waste our time. Where they don't just like pick up any old script and they're just like, let's go with it. That's fine. Because going back to Terminator, I'm going to see every new Terminator. I don't have a choice in the matter. I grew up on Terminator. When they're like, here's a Terminator. It's like, well, fuck, I'm going to go see that piece of shit. And it's a piece of shit every time. And I'm not going to stop myself. I can't be trusted to not see the new Terminator. So I need someone who has my best interest in mind stepping in and being like, he deserves a good Terminator, not a shitty Terminator.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go next?
Yes.
Fight it out. Yeah. Whoever wins.
You sure?
Hana, go. All
right. Fine.
Go. What's your unpopular opinion? Go.
All parents are bad parents. You can be a good person and a bad parent. In fact, it's very easy because all parents are bad parents.
And you can be a bad person and a bad parent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or a bad person and a good parent.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I mean, not good, but you know what I mean.
Decent
parent. Not the worst.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I love how I wanted you to go first because your opinion, my opinion, piggybacks off your opinion.
That's fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait, I do. Yeah. I think you can be a bad person, a good parent. I like someone like, I don't know if he's a good parent, but someone like Paul Manafort might be a good parent and he's a terrible person.
But the threshold for good is, the bar for good as a parent is much lower than the bar for a good friend or a good
spouse.
That's
like a movie character, right? A bad person, good parent. That's like a character they create in movie. There's like a, I feel like that.
If people fucked up their friends or pets or partners as much as they do their children, we wouldn't be okay with it. And it's just inevitable. It's just going to happen.
I think if you can keep a plant alive, you're caring and doting to a plant, odds are to me you might be a good parent.
I think I kill plants. Good enough.
I just smoke them or I kill them.
I mean, me too. I'm not going to be a parent. I'd be the worst, but
it's weird. There's
good enough.
I murder plants.
But still bad.
Yeah.
Like if I see a plant thriving, I kill it.
Yeah, you kill it in front of another plant, so that plant will have to watch.
I've seen the happening. I know how it works.
Yeah.
There's no qualifications.
And then there's always
parents.
Like people are like, but when it happens to you, you just like snap into good, to like, it's like,
no, you don't just loving your kid.
You don't just like wake up one day and all of a sudden become a good parent.
No, you're going to fuck up.
It's a lot of mistakes, trial and error.
Especially because
you might even lose a kid in the process, but you know what? Yeah.
You can make another.
You reproduce.
They're a renewable resource.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
You produce, you reproduce.
We have too many now, I would argue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch out there
actually,
that don't even have parents.
Our generation is not reproducing enough kids at the rate that it should be.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm perfectly okay with that. Honestly, you can't even be, you can't even really learn from your mistakes as a parent, because what constitutes a good parent for a certain child's personality might be a horrible parent for another child's personality. You can't.
Right. It's not a one size fits all. No. Because you have to be certain, you have to be certain things for certain people.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's kind of like that, the education system in this country. We're like, oh, all kids must learn the same. Therefore, they're all going to be of this certain level. It's like, no, we're all individuals. We all need individual different things. You're right. Like what? It's such a bizarre idea to think like two people could raise something.
Right.
And that is true for every relationship, but you're not going to like put your ego into it as much as you are as a parent. You're
right.
Just not. It's impossible. Even if like, it doesn't matter. If you became a kid's parent at like when they were like 14, you're still going to dump your ego into that child.
And also it's like, think, look at how animals do it. It's not like they just teach their kids like basic survival skills and then push them off. Right. There's no there's no like,
that's all it takes to be like an adequate parent.
You know, but who would make good parents? Robot overlords.
Exactly.
Yeah. They get the baby early and then they just, they put them in an incubator or whatever, and they
honestly, blast. If they find a way to make children feel loved,
need love and affection,
then I'm all for that.
The reason that might not work is the way you train a robot overlord is with machine learning and AI. And what happens whenever we put AI on Twitter? It becomes a Nazi in like 24 minutes.
Right. We would have to figure out like
the robots would raise Nazis.
We'd make them watch a bunch of like, we'd make them read a bunch of parenting books and like watch a bunch of movies, and you just expose them to the right things. And again, it's not our problem.
That's a good point.
This is a robot overlord problem.
Way in the future.
That's their problem.
We're all going to be dead.
Yeah. The whole fucking point of robot overlords is we don't have to think about these things.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
I'm all for not thinking about these things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the central computer.
Mm-hmm.
It'll raise that baby for you.
A big monolith. Yeah. That just has like a blinking eye. And that's
The instructions pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ride your treadmill for half an hour to provide energy to the world, as is your duty as a citizen. And then the computer raises your baby.
I can't believe they like thought like a bunch of books. You know, like for us, they make us as kids go to school for like 15 years plus to learn math, science, like things that like we don't even use. But then they're like, oh, to become a parent, which is one of the greatest responsibilities ever, to oversee another life. They're like, read these three books.
Right. Yeah, totally.
And you'll get it.
They're contradictory too.
Yeah. Books that you're not required to read. You don't have to do shit.
No. Yeah, there's exactly like to operate a car, which is a machinery item that could kill another person.
You have to learn for way longer than to be a parent.
Yeah, and which also we just like let anyone do it pretty much.
No, your genitals just have to like mash together enough times in the way.
It's pretty crazy.
To drive?
Yes.
Weird.
You haven't been using my car.
I've been cars of the future.
I've been fucking this up this whole time.
Why do you think I'm always complaining about my car?
Also, I read that having kids is one of the most harmful things you can do to the environment.
Oh, yeah.
So not only are you a bad parent, but you're a bad citizen of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you're bad for the environment.
Your carbon footprint basically doubles.
I've said the same.
I don't know what a carbon footprint is, by the way.
But it sounded like you did.
Yeah. It sounded authoritative as
fuck. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I feel the same way about computers. I think in this day and age, it's really irresponsible that we'll just chuck a laptop at any fucking idiot and let them get on the internet and do whatever they want. Like that needs to be, you need a license to get on the internet, especially like if you're working in finance in any way, you cannot be bad at the internet. Like there's a school district in Texas that just lost $2.3 million in a phishing scam because someone sent them a fake.
That's how I feel about teachers. We just let anyone become a teacher.
Yeah.
We really do.
It's nuts.
And like babysitters and parents, you know,
well,
basically.
But we have to let anyone become teachers because we don't pay teachers.
I was about to say, if we pay them more, we get qualifications.
It would be.
Yeah. The quality of teaching in this country would skyrocket if we paid teachers the way we pay doctors.
I remember I went to a charter school for high school And we had a van driver that would drive the students, like pick up the students that couldn't be. We didn't really have a good bus system because, again, charter school. So we'd have van drivers like for certain areas. And one of them just like became a teacher. And like because we all just liked him and
they
he was
promoted
cool.
him.
Yeah. And he was like substituting every now and then. He would substitute a class like biology. And we'd be like, what do you want to do? And he'd be like, I don't know. Let's drive around the van. And we just take the van out and just like follow cars and shit. And eventually he was just like, yeah, he's a teacher.
I love how
now.
Your bus driver was also your biology teacher.
Yeah. Well, he's a sub. He was a sub.
It's here's bad parenting in a roundabout way. My mom didn't believe me when I told her that my Spanish teacher was having visions of Jesus in class. That was true. And she's a bad parent. And he's not a great teacher.
That is bad parenting.
I had to, honestly, the best part, I've had moments growing up too where I would like tell my parents something that should have been alarming, you know? But they just like don't believe us because they're like, what do these kids know? It's like, we know everything. We're so honest. Like we haven't learned how to like lie yet, you know?
Or like you faked sick in elementary school, so I can't. Or they believe too. I don't.
Well, this is
there
the kids
so
are liars.
Many ways for parents to
kids are liars,
but,
it's
that.
Not because they're. Yeah. It's more like imagine. It's I feel like kids the way they lie is not because they're. Well, I feel like there's different. Obviously, kids can lie for a variety of reasons,
but it's generally not.
But
malicious.
I also feel like kids are so brutally honest that they just come home like. You know, the kid that'll just start talking about his penis in class. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's no filter.
Kids are also scared. I think it's scary to be a kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, every kid.
Yeah. And parents are scared, and they make the kids more scared, or they're not scared enough. There are so many ways to be bad at this.
Yeah.
There are so many. There's, I don't know how you be good at it. I don't. I can't imagine a way to be good at it. I can imagine a way to be, like, adequate.
Yeah, and that's why I like being an uncle because I don't have to give a fuck about that.
Yeah,
I just tell being them whatever's on my mind. It doesn't matter.
I want to be an uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it's great. You get so much leeway because it's like crazy uncle. Like it's a cliche to be like fun weird uncle. So you can do whatever.
You can
buy them cigarettes. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, good parent. That is a pretty high bar. Because it can just be one thing that fucks your kid up forever. Like,
or rather, the bar that we give now is so low.
Yeah, like my dad died when I was 17, like a fucking idiot. And there was this one thing that happened after he died where I had stayed out too late. And I knew my mom was going to be mad. And I get home and she's sitting in the dark smoking like a fucking creep. And I was like, sorry, I was at Sarah's house. And she was like, I don't care where you were. And it's like, motherfucker, clearly you do, because you're sitting up right now smoking in the dark.
Right.
So why would you say that to me? And like now, anytime if I'm ever in an argument and someone says something and they're like, oh, I was just trying to hurt your feelings. It's like, I know, and I hate you now forever, forever and ever and ever.
Right, it's really
like
easy.
I cannot forgive that shit.
Yeah, it's really easy for a parent to do one thing that's just like, nope, that's you for the rest of your life.
Here we go.
Yep.
I just put that imprint. Here's the issue is that once we start talking about how to make people qualify for parenthood, who gets to be parents and who doesn't, that's that. You know, the whole slippery slope thing where
it's like robot
famously,
overlords.
Yeah. Well, robots
are
impartial.
Who have kids.
Robots are impartial, but once we have humans deciding what other humans can breed, I mean, historically, that does not work
like
out.
Fine. It's like that movie Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Right.
But if it's robots, I think the robots.
What
again,
if they're dumb
they're
robots?
Twitter,
what if we make
Twitter
stupid
robots
and
or
we robot
make like racist
idiocracy.
Twitter robots? We can't do that either. That's why they have to be like,
I mean, if we're capable of doing that, that would be great.
Yeah.
Making racist robots? I love that I'm just twisting your words this whole episode. It's a lot of fun.
I think we just show, I think we just get a robot and we show them all the Star Treks from like the original series and the TNG and be like, this is what we're kind of aiming for. And they're like, all right, got it.
But then we would end up with men are allowed to get fat and have girdles and women are not.
That's true. That is a problem.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, I'm trying to get fat in space. Fat.
Everyone should be allowed to get fat and have girdles.
Yeah. Especially if we're in space.
Yeah.
I love space.
More like Spanx. Spanx and space combined is what I did there. Rachel, what's your unpopular opinion?
Well, mine kind of tags along with hers, where I think also kids could be the worst thing that happened to some people. Like, I think that especially up until our generation, it was pushed upon us that, like, you go to school, and if you go to college or get a job, then after that you find someone and you get married and then you have kids, right?
Right.
Yep.
And it's like, I feel like there's this whole mentality kind of within maybe our parents' generation, and at least within there, I feel like there is a mentality amongst women, and obviously men probably feel this too, that, like, I think that there's got to be people out there who second guess if they didn't, what if they didn't have kids? Like, what if they didn't make their kids their whole fucking life? Because once you have kids, like, I have friends that have kids and I never see them anymore. Like, they're like almost not my friends anymore. And I'm just like, you're in a different realm and I'm just over here. And then, but then, like, you know, you'll look, go on Facebook and people will be like, having kids is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I didn't know love until, it's like, bitch, you're in the first year of your relationship with this baby. Wait till year three or four. And this thing is pulling on your hair, pulling on your nipples, like fighting kids at school. Your kid, you know, doesn't know how, isn't potty trained, or maybe doesn't even know words. You don't even know what mental problems it has yet. Cause you haven't even, you don't know how bad you have, you're going to fuck it up. So I just feel like, I think that's going to become a more popular opinion.
Yeah. I think it kind of already is. That's why we're not making as many babies.
But I also feel like, well, we're not making as many babies because a lot of us don't have a lot of money to make babies, because having babies is so expensive. Like, I was looking at what a hospital bill to just bring a baby in is if you don't have insurance, and that's just like college tuition right there. Yeah. No one has $50,000 to just have a baby that you don't even know if you're going to like. Like, that's risky. Well,
yeah. That's the thing. They're like little parasites where you will like them because they're like, it's just in our nature, because otherwise we drown them. Like, we have to love our kids because they're a pain in the ass. And
yeah,
so we're designed to love them. And that's good. Like, it's, I think there was a time where we were still just like, and not too long ago, where we were still just working on surviving in places, you know, we'd go to a place and there'd just be like bears and shit. And we'd have to like survive and make a bunch more of us. And you have like 9 kids, cause you know, you're going to lose like 5 of them.
Right.
And it's like, that's how it is.
And you may not, there's maybe a couple that you won't even like.
Yeah. And you know, like any animal, we're designed for survival and should, you know, keep, you know, doing that. But I think as society has gotten more advanced, it's easier for at least some portion of society to be like, you know what, that's not for me. And I think that's always existed, right? Like,
to an
people
extent.
Who, yeah.
I think that as women, though, is particularly like, we get a lot of pressure to reproduce because we're the ones who like carry the children into the world. And there's like, we have biological clocks, and it's a constant reminder from society and our families. Like, we have this amount of time to like continue on our family legacy, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And so like, it's like, men, you guys can make babies up until you die, you know, until your sperm stops working, which could be, you know, even like after you die, you probably could like impregnate someone, but I mean, limited time,
some cum behind.
Yeah. But then,
we all do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then also, but like as women, some women's entire identity is about becoming a mom. And I think also there's got to be a level of like, you know, when you expect things to go a certain way, like,
oh,
even
yeah.
And then you like, there's the whole thing about postpartum depression and like the mental health experiences that you experience just after having a kid. And like, that sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
You and know,
yeah.
Tying womanhood to child rearing. It's like super harmful for women who don't want kids, can't have kids. Mm-hmm. Anyone like,
don't need
and
kids.
There's
trans women with like uterus shit, like it's so narrow, and so like people who would just be bad at it, people who would just be bad at it should not be pressured to have them. Please stop.
I think there should be some sort of safety net for situations where maybe you did think you wanted kids and
adoption. Give them up for adoption.
Yeah, like, but I guess. Can you just turn a kid over?
I mean, you can, but there's a lot of, you know, social pressure, and you should.
Yeah, that's the thing. It might be a lot. I feel like there shouldn't be that social pressure where if you maybe thought you wanted a kid and now you're like, 7, 8 years into it.
Kind of like when you adopt a dog at Christmas and you and the girl break up, and then it's like, I don't really want this dog anymore. It's a representation of our relationship, and like someone should have it and give it a better home.
Someone's going to love that dog more.
There's a documentary. I know I'm just mentioning documentaries left and right on this episode that people should watch, but
great.
There is an HBO documentary called A Dangerous Son, and it's about this woman who lives in Washington State, and her son was a problem. Like, he was like a shelter puppy, but in kid form. Like, wow. He had a sister and he would just beat the shit out of her all the time. Like, he was a fucking menace. And all she wanted in life was to get this kid into a mental institution. And at the time in Washington State, there were something like 100 available beds in the entire state. And she just couldn't, there was nothing, everything she tried, she could not get this kid any help. And I feel like there shouldn't be a stigma around her if she maybe wanted to go, you know what? I can't fucking do it. I give up. This is the state's job now. But people would like, and honestly, people who don't live in that situation and see it can't imagine what that's like.
And there's kids who live in that situation pick up on the resentment.
Right.
Right.
So in that case, it's bad for everyone. And there should just be, we should embrace the idea that sometimes fucking parents and their kids don't work out.
Well, think
it's a relationship.
Like,
they don't always work.
We survived off that like generations ago of that village mentality where it's like a village raised people. It wasn't just like two people raising a kid, you know, it was a community based. And I think that is also, that to me is more appealing than just like finding someone who's willing to raise a kid with you, and who knows what's going to happen when they get put to the test, you know?
Yeah. There could just be like, because the problem is giving a kid to the state, it's resources, obviously. We can't do that as much. But if we replace government workers with robots,
right?
Then we don't have to pay the robots. And then you have like boxes that are just these loving robot arms will embrace and take your kid into the robot underground that we've established. like a utility, like in the sewers.
Yeah. I mean, a robot is not going to leave 30-minute voicemails on my phone every fucking week or call me just to say appreciate your pubes while you can.
Unless you ask it
but
to.
But a mother will. Yeah.
Yeah. maybe replace the foster care system with robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all we need. Make it a kiosk.
Yeah, like a
honestly, robot. Even
the kiosk at the Burbank Mall, you can drop your kid off.
Yeah.
Kiosk care.
Yeah, they'll make sure it gets somewhere safe.
Yeah. It'll get a cool robot pairing.
Love it.
I would, a cool robot
like
a
laser
parent?
Gun. Yeah, like yeah, something.
I'm already down one parent, so there's room.
Mm-hmm.
There's room for a robot to slide in. It's got to be better than that dude my mom married for a while. That guy was a nightmare.
I'm definitely going to quote that out of context.
Oh, that's
room for a robot to slide in.
Yeah.
Plenty of room. So we have time for one more. Does anyone have anything else? Can we talk about chocolate?
Yeah, I think chocolate's gross. It's overrated and it was over marketed to us as children and as a society and just overall. And also there's so many other better desserts and chocolate doesn't have to be just an entire dessert. Like, I like chocolate if it's like mixed in with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but an entire cake of chocolate, it's like, how much do you just love chocolate that you need to eat a whole fucking cake? The icing has to be it. The cake has to be it. The inside has to be it. Like, literally, put some variety in there.
Yeah. I would go further and say that cake isn't great either.
I also don't like cake. I think it's just controversial.
It's just candy bread. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to consume chocolate, which I agree with you, I don't hate chocolate, but you know, I don't eat it that much, but I will do like a nice brownie or like fudge or maybe, like a Hershey bar, but like a cake. I don't know, man.
Hershey's is also not even that great either. Like if you're going to, I want the best tasting, like you have there. I've tasted chocolate and I'm like, okay, this is legit chocolate. Like, I don't want the fake ass chocolate, like the Tootsie Rolls. Ugh.
Rolls.
Oh, yeah.
This country is just shit with chocolate, isn't it?
It like, truly is.
It's, we're living in this, like, really.
Every other European country, great chocolate.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know I'm going against the whole room, but I fuck with a cake. Like brownies are
Do you fuck with a cake or do you fuck with frosting?
Yeah. Both. You eat the whole thing.
I mean, that's the thing.
I like pie.
The problem is chocolate cake and chocolate chip cookies are just too ubiquitous in society. Everyone fucking makes
them. Chocolate chip cookies are amazing.
Chocolate chip cookies are amazing about 25% of the time.
You're right.
And the rest of the time, they are trash. And chocolate cake is the same thing. If you're eating a chocolate cake made by someone who knows how to make a cake as opposed to just buying a fucking box from
the grocery
store. I've
never ate a cake
store.
Where I was like, oh, I need that cake again.
Oh, I have. Pie my girlfriend like, bakes I a love, lot. And
well, I've had one cake that I haven't been able to forget. Yeah.
Unforgettable
I've
cake?
Had yeah. Ice cream and cheesecakes, which are not
cheesecake
cakes
is great.
And should not be counted as cakes.
I mean, cheesecake's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's still a cake of cheese.
I don't
if
know.
If anything, it's a pie.
I think there's
cake.
I love pie.
Pie's great.
Pie, yeah.
I'm a pie guy.
Cheesecake has a crust. It's got a filling. It's not like bready.
Ooh, I love
it's a pie. It's a cake of cheese.
Mm-hmm. I think just the regular bready cake, like we even have to decorate them to make them appealing. We like light
candles.
Right,
you have to put so much shit on it.
Yeah.
No, you just put a little frost. You don't fuck with a carrot cake?
Ooh, carrot cake gross. is fine. It's just regular gross. Cake that I'm like, this is so underwhelming. Like, or even
I fuck
chocolate
with carrot
cake.
Cake frosting.
Yeah, cream cheese. Yeah.
Cream cheese carrot cake, that's a treat right there.
Chocolate chip bun cake is good.
If it's made well, we need qualifications for cakes. Parents and people who make cakes.
Right.
We do have qualifications for people who make
cakes. Yeah, there's no, a whole lot of regulations
can,
around
anybody
that.
Anybody can get cake mix off the, yeah. off the street. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like cake yeah, okay. mix and yeah. shit like that, that's going to be hit or like that's what you make edibles.
You know
with.
What we should
that's
do? Not, we should design a robot that makes cakes. So we there have like, it is. A kiosk that we get the cakes out of and they're perfect every time.
What's that? The guy, Cake Boss? Cake Robot? I love it.
Yeah.
Cake Bot.
Yeah, Cake Bot. Perfect.
Yeah. yeah.
And he'll have to compete with Cake Boss to see who's the real boss.
I like that.
Love it.
Going back yeah. to pitch it. To chocolate. Is white chocolate trash? Because I think it's yes. trash.
It's
not chocolate.
It's trash.
There are people who argue any chocolate that's not dark chocolate is mostly trash. And I don't like dark chocolate that
I don't
much.
Like dark chocolate
I'm a milk
either.
Chocolate person. But I also yeah. I also fuck with yeah. milk.
But isn't white chocolate like technically
not
chocolate at all?
It's trash. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either. It's something.
It's gross.
That's a white.
It's very sweet. It's too sweet sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Sweet. It's yeah. a lot.
But I don't know. A good chocolate cake is good.
Yeah.
I could have like 3 bites maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm over this. Get this out of my face.
You tend to get good chocolate from, I think, vegan places.
Yeah.
Because they tend to have something to prove.
All natural.
So some of the best, yeah, some of the best chocolate like cakes I've gotten were vegan.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. Also salt, like salty caramel, that shit will fuck you up.
It'll fuck you up.
It'll fuck you up. It's well, delicious.
Yeah, chocolate with other things.
Is very
chocolate with salt. I just started figuring
sweet,
that
salty.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Like the, yeah. the sweet salty.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a restaurant a in combo. Santa Monica called Misfit. And when they bring you your bill, they also bring a bowl of sea salt chocolate chip cookies.
Stop it.
And they are some awesome. Of the best fucking cookies.
So I feel like
this podcast has just made me hungry.
I don't know yeah. if we've disproven yeah. your thesis that chocolate is bad here, because I'm trying
chocolate
to think.
Chocolate on its own, horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're just throwing down on a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
You need to collaborate.
You better have also served in World War II.
I like chocolate.
Yeah. That's outdated
I like
behavior.
Chocolate in a collaborative experience, as a collaborative yeah. experience.
Yeah. I do feel like society, like, yeah, you go to a convenience store, there's all chocolate bars now, they're like, and here's some peanuts.
Yeah,
and
they're like chocolate with, because they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're inclusive.
I do like a good chocolate every now and then. Like a good little bit of chocolate and it melts in your mouth and you.
But like, it can't be shitty chocolate because I'm like, I don't yeah. even want yeah. it. I'd
and
rather not.
And you're not going to have a lot of it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready to fucking eat now. Jeez.
Yeah, I just made chocolate chip cookies. I just finished them though.
A good place around here.
A good what?
Cheese place.
Like a place to buy fancy cheeses?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that exists?
Weirdly enough, the Ralph's on Buena Vista has a whole fancy cheese store inside it.
Wow. Ooh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm glad I had that info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think under most circumstances I would have good cheese store information.
I'm glad you had that info too. Oh, also, bad parenting example. My parents made us walk out of a Goofy movie because it depicted Cheese Whiz in a positive light.
Huh. What?
Yep.
That sounds...
What's wrong with Cheese Whiz?
They're insane. So what's wrong with Cheese Whiz?
That's horrible.
Did the Nazis make it or something? Is there something I don't know?
No, it's just unhealthy.
I think this is part of the parenting thing is all parents, like I remember.
And nothing makes you want Cheese Whiz more than your parents making you walk out of a movie because of Cheese Whiz.
Yeah, totally right. True.
Your daughter's going to get to college and just throw down on all the Cheese Whiz in front of her.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Dave?
No, I just, parents are good at that. Weirdness.
They're good at banning. Yeah,
they really.
Yeah,
they're good at arbitrary no and anxiety rules.
Yeah. Like I remember, my mom was fine with like me watching any movie that I can remember, and she was like, "You just can't watch two movies." And it was Cape Fear, the original Robert Mitchum, and fucking A Clockwork Orange. I understand it because those were clearly two movies that she had watched at some point in her life and had freaked her out.
Yeah,
but it's funny because A Clockwork Orange, watching that, I was like, "Oh, I get it."
I was
But like Cape Fear is just like, really?
Yeah.
I always thought it was weird that my parents were like weird about nudity, but it's like, I already am looking at myself naked every single day. So why is nudity weird?
Yeah. My dad didn't give a shit, but my mom was weird about nudity, but they also took me to every horror movie.
Right. As a
child. I saw Friday the 13th in theaters. I was 4.
Nice.
And I vividly remember Jason Voorhees' mom getting her fucking head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like that's one of my early childhood memories. And then I got super high and watched Carrie once and realized I watched that way too young.
Oh yeah.
Because that like I was having like like it informed my entire fucking life.
I had that too. Yeah. My parents didn't care that much. I remember watching Blazing Saddles way too young.
I did.
Too young to understand the context of anything being said in that movie.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. it's weird how that is, but like,
so no parents, I think is the parents are the landlords of relationships.
No, let's parents, just no chocolate.
They abolish are the landlords them. Of relationships. Yeah. They literally are.
Yeah.
Robots. Well, I think that's an episode.
Hells yeah.
This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you all for doing it. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? Rachel.
Follow me at Wolfie Comedy Chronic Wolfie Comedy at Chronic Relief Pod. And yeah, that's where I'll be at.
Do it. Dave.
I got a Twitter, Movie Hooligan. You can follow me if you feel like it. You should check out my podcast network, Gamefully Unemployed. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Please go look at that. I would appreciate it.
Hannah.
Follow me at Hannah Michaels. That's HannaMichels. I know. I can't.
That's not how you spell it.
Yeah, you spelled it wrong.
Yeah, you spelled your last name wrong.
I know.
Weird.
I know.
Really weird.
I know. My there was some suicide thing that happened and then they did that. I don't know.
Okay.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Todd Brown. That's Todd with 1D, which is spelled correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Means death in German.
Love cool. It.
I don't think my mom knew that when she Death saddled Brown. Me with a misspelled middle name.
Love it.
Adam Death Brown. It's great.
I like Death Brown.
All right. Let's get out of here. Hannah, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dave, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Rachel, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street, bring a blood object to Bristol Street. I'm not.